Hi, Liberty Grace. It's great to see you all this evening. Happy Mother's Day. I hope your Mother's Day has been going really well. Like was mentioned earlier in the service, today we are going to be dealing with the topic of fear. This is the last day of our evangelism series that we have entitled "Too Good Not to Share." You know, growing up, one of my biggest fears, one of the things that terrified me more than anything else in the world, was public speaking. It's kind of an ironic fear considering the line of work that God has called me into, but it's true. Public speaking scared the living daylights out of me. I hated it with a burning passion. I remember when I was in grade six, I had to give a quick 2-minute presentation reviewing a movie. One thing I liked about it, one thing I didn't like about it, just like a very quick presentation in front of my class. For a week before that presentation, my stomach was in knots. I had butterflies in my stomach constantly thinking about having to speak for 2 minutes in front of a class of about 20 kids. And I was so freaked out about this presentation that for a week afterwards, my stomach was still in knots and I still had butterflies in my stomach because of having to do this presentation. It absolutely terrified me. And I think all of us can sort of relate to that feeling, what it feels like to be afraid. Your heart starts beating a little bit faster, your stomach starts to tighten up, your breathing gets a bit heavier, and in your mind, you're starting to run through every worst case scenario of everything that could possibly go wrong. And we all feel this way for different reasons and about different things. I may be afraid of public speaking. You may be afraid of heights or roller coasters or spiders or this, that, or the other thing. We all have different things that make us afraid. But I think there are also some things that are almost common denominators in terms of things that make almost all of us afraid. And I think for Christians, one of those things is definitely evangelism. You look and there are some that you see and they seem to not be bothered at all, to not be afraid at all when it comes to evangelism. They'll go up to anyone, anywhere, anytime to talk about the gospel. But I would say that those people are much more the exception rather than the rule, because for the most part, all of us have to deal with fear when it comes to evangelism. And so often it's that fear that keeps us from actually sharing the gospel with those around us. And in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 4, we see a good example of one of those reasons that most of us get so afraid when it comes to sharing the gospel. And this passage, it shows us the opposition that Peter and John, two of Jesus' disciples, faced. They were out, they were performing healings, they were preaching about the resurrection of Jesus, and because of that, they were arrested. Yeah, as we read through this passage or look through it, which Kiara just read for us, we see that this opposition, it didn't stop them from sharing the gospel. And as a result, some pretty amazing things happened. And so the question we have to ask is, how did they do it? How were Peter and John able to so boldly and confidently proclaim the gospel, even in the face of such opposition and the threat of imprisonment? Well, I think in this passage, we see four different things, four keys, really, that things that helped Peter and John to share about Christ so boldly and without fear. As we look through this passage, we're going to see how we can learn from their example, from these four things, in order to overcome our own fear of evangelism by looking at what they do. And so we're going to look at each of these four things that we need in order to be able to share the gospel boldly and without fear, just like Peter and John. And then at the end, we're going to look at something that we don't need in order to share the gospel. And the hope by the end of looking at this passage and by the end of this series in general, the hope is that we'll all be energized and ready to go out into our lives and share the gospel with others. You know, all the way through this series on evangelism, fear has sort of been a background presence in almost every message that we've had up to this point. The reality that fear is there, but today we're going to face this issue head on and look at how we deal with it. And so as we begin to look at this passage, the very first key, the very first thing that we see here that we need in order to be able to share the gospel boldly and without fear is conviction. When Peter and John are arrested, they are brought before this council in Jerusalem, and they're asked by what authority they're preaching and by what authority they are healing people. And I want you to look at their response in verse 9 to 12. They say, "If we're being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And so Peter and John are challenged by what authority they're preaching and they're healing. And they take that moment to boldly and confidently proclaim yet again the name and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his victory over death, and which is the very thing that got them arrested and in trouble in the first place. And then if you look at verse 19 to 20, once the religious leaders tell them explicitly, you can't keep preaching in this guy's name. You cannot keep preaching about Jesus. Look how they respond. "Peter and John answered them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard.'" So Peter and John are commanded point blank to stop preaching about the resurrection of Jesus. And yet they respond with these powerful words and say, "We cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." They couldn't do anything else. It was unthinkable to them that they would keep quiet about everything that they'd seen and everything that they'd heard from Jesus. They just couldn't keep it inside. And they were facing opposition, very dangerous opposition. These were the same people who had just very recently had Jesus put to death on the cross and could have very easily done a similar thing to Peter and John. And yet they continued to proclaim the gospel. Why? Because they were convinced, absolutely convinced, that what they were preaching, the message that they were sharing, was the truth. And that that truth was greater than any opposition they could possibly face. They were putting everything on the line here. They were going against their culture, against their heritage. There would have been huge implications for what they were doing here. And not only was their cultural identity on the line, but their very lives were on the line. Again, these people had just had Jesus, the Son of God, put to death on a cross. And now Peter and John are preaching about the resurrection of Christ. As we look at the boldness of Peter and John in this passage, it brings to mind a number of passages written by Paul in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, which says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Romans 8, chapter 38 and 39 say, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." In Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now, this is one of the reasons a couple weeks ago I said it's so important for us to be reminding ourselves of the gospel every single day, reminding ourselves of who Jesus is and what he's done. Because if we're going to share the gospel boldly and without fear, the way we see Peter and John doing it in this passage, we have to have that same kind of conviction and certainty that what we are sharing is true. We need to believe this message with our whole heart, that Christ is greater than any opposition that we will face as we share the good news. Paul says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Do you believe that? Peter and John certainly did. They believed beyond the shadow of a doubt that even if the religious leaders did put them to death, even if their preaching led to their death, ultimately they would enjoy eternity with Christ. So there was nothing that the religious leaders could do to them that would outweigh what Christ had already done for them. And you see this conviction in so many of Jesus' followers throughout the book of Acts who do go to their deaths because they're preaching the good news of Jesus. We see this conviction follow through in their lives. And if we're going to share the gospel boldly and without fear, the first thing that we need is conviction. That certainty that the message that we're sharing with people is absolutely true. So that's the first key. The second thing that we need in order to boldly share the gospel without fear is community. I want you to look at what happens immediately after Peter and John are released from prison. This is in verse 23, where it says, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. See, Peter and John, they were not alone in what they were doing. As they were sharing the gospel, people trusted in Christ and their community began to grow. And they relied on that community. They relied on other believers. They were not isolated and alone in what they were doing. They had this community of believers around them, supporting them and praying for them. And as soon as they were let out of custody, immediately they went to their friends. They went to this community to report everything that had happened with the priests, to tell them everything that had gone on. It was important for them to be connected to this community of believers so that they were able to receive support in these times of opposition and struggle. You know, as we go and share the gospel with others, it's easy for us to think that we're on some solo mission to save the world, that all of this rests on our shoulders alone. But that's not true at all. Even look at the fact Peter and John were doing all of this together. They were preaching together. They were in prison together. We're not alone in this. Verse 32 to 37, later in this passage, talks about the beginnings of the church. The entire book of Acts is all about the spreading of the gospel, the establishing of the church. And these verses, they give a good look into that community and the love and the care that they have for one another. We need to be connected to our community so that we're able to support one another in the mission that we've been given by Christ to share the gospel. You and I, we're all part of the body of Christ, and we're meant to be connected to that body. Different parts of the body are not meant to just go their own separate ways at the end of a Sunday and do their own thing all week until it's time for us to come together and to be a body again on Sunday. We're not free agents here. We're part of the body of Christ. We're supposed to be supporting and encouraging and challenging one another in this mission that Christ has given us, to make disciples, to baptize, and to teach what Christ has commanded. So if I'm struggling with fear and I'm nervous about sharing the gospel with my neighbors, I should be able to come to you, to the church, to receive prayer and support and to be challenged to share the gospel in spite of that fear. Our community here is meant to encourage one another in this mission, and we need that. And so how do we support one another? That leads into the third key. The first thing that we need is conviction. The second thing that we need is community. And the third thing that we need is prayer. I tried to make all of these C words and it just wasn't working out, so that's not going to happen. But the third thing that we need here is prayer. If you look at what Peter and John do with the other believers as soon as they've made their report, in verse 24, this is what it says, and when they'd heard it, they lifted their voices together to God. They lifted up their voices to God, this community of believers. They prayed for one another and they prayed with one another. In verse 24 to 30, it's just this prayer that they're praying together as a community. And I want to just highlight some of the great elements of this prayer. They acknowledge God's sovereignty and his kingship over the earth. You see that at the end of verse 24. They say, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them." They acknowledge that God is sovereign over all the earth. They acknowledge that there is opposition that they're facing. There is opposition to their message. See that in verse 27. "For truly in this city, they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel." You see that they don't ask for those threats, and they don't ask for that opposition to be taken away. What they ask for is boldness to speak in spite of that opposition. In verse 29, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness." And then they don't ask for the power for themselves to do great things, but that God would do great things and that his name would be praised. You see that in verse 30. It says, "Well, you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Looking at this should inform our prayers as we're praying with and we're praying for one another in our mission together to share the gospel. We acknowledge our fear, that we acknowledge that the fear that we face in sharing the gospel is a very real thing. But acknowledge that God is greater than our fear, and pray that he would give us boldness and that he would work through us. See, this is the role of our community. This is one of the greatest ways that we can be encouraging one another in this, that we can be praying for one another as we share the gospel. Now, every Tuesday as we gather together for Grace Group, our time together always ends with going off into small groups and spending some time praying for one another. On the first Tuesday of every month, rather than our regular Grace Group, we have just a night dedicated to praying together as a church. These are such encouraging and uplifting times, and I'm going to encourage you, if you haven't previously been a part of these nights or these times of prayer, I would really encourage you to come out and to be a part of this, because it's so important for us as a church to be praying for one another and to be praying with one another. And it's a big part of giving us the boldness that we need in order to share the gospel without fear. Again, that leads into the next key, the next thing that we need. The first is conviction. The second is community. Third is prayer. And the final key that we need in order to boldly share the gospel without fear is seen. It's one of the most important ones, and we see it in verse 8 and verse 31, and it's the Holy Spirit. When Peter spoke boldly before the council, he was filled with the Holy Spirit in verse 8. So what it says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders," and it continues on. And then when the church prayed together, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And as a result of that, they were filled with boldness to continue to speak the gospel in verse 31. Which says, "And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." We need the Holy Spirit in order to be able to carry out this mission that we've been given by Christ. In the book of John, we looked a little bit at Jesus' promise to his disciples that he would send them a helper once he'd returned to the Father. And that helper was the Holy Spirit who came at Pentecost, which we're going to be talking about in a couple of weeks. But through the book of Acts, we see a number of examples of people being filled with the Holy Spirit and therefore being empowered to do the work of God. And this is such an important one to remember, because we have to remember that when we're sharing the gospel, the real work isn't actually being done by us at all. At the end of the day, it's never our responsibility to save people. There's nothing ultimately that you or I can do to change someone's heart. That's not the job that we've been given. That work is done by the Holy Spirit. We are not responsible to make sure that people respond to the message that we're sharing, but we are given the responsibility to share it. And we're given the Holy Spirit to help us in that mission, to give us the boldness that we need to share the gospel. If you look at people in the Bible throughout the book of Acts and you wonder how they possibly could have been so bold in sharing the gospel, the answer is right here. It's because of the Holy Spirit working through them. If you've given your life to Christ, you also have the Holy Spirit inside of you to help you in sharing the gospel with that same boldness. So as you pray for yourself, as you pray for others in the church, pray that God would empower us with his Spirit to share the good news of Christ with those around us. So those are the four keys, the four things that Peter and John's story teaches us we need in order to be able to share the gospel boldly and without fear. We need conviction, we need community, we need prayer, and we need the Holy Spirit. And now as we've been looking at all the things that we do need in order to share the gospel boldly and without fear, especially with that last one of the Holy Spirit in mind, I want to end with looking at something that we don't need in order to share the gospel without fear. I want you to look at verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. You see, Peter and John were not scholars. The priests, the religious leaders, they would have spent their entire life studying, their entire life being trained with the scriptures. Peter and John would not have had that same training. But what they did have was their experience with Jesus, the time that they spent with him, their relationship with him, and the gift of the Holy Spirit that had been given to them. They didn't need all of that training. So don't tell yourself that you'll start sharing the gospel once you've heard X number of sermons, that you'll start sharing the gospel once you've read just one more book or listened to one more podcast, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Don't tell yourself you just need this one more thing to be able to share the gospel. Now, don't get me wrong, that training and continual learning and getting better at this is always a good thing. Continuing to listen to sermons, read those books, listen to podcasts, they're all good things. But don't discourage yourself and say that you're not smart enough or you're not good enough to share the gospel. Because if you've heard and accepted the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, then you have all that you need to share it. Because this passage shows that you don't need some kind of special education to share the gospel with others. It says that Peter and John were uneducated common men. What you need is conviction, community, prayer, and the Holy Spirit. You need God to be at work in your heart, but you do not need a master's degree to be able to share the gospel with those around you, to share how Christ has transformed your life and how he's been at work in you. Because when we share the gospel with others, our hope is not in us, but in the power of the gospel itself and the name that we are proclaiming, the name of Jesus Christ. And I want to end with this. This is the last thing that I'll say here. I want you to look at what happens when Peter and John boldly proclaim the gospel, despite the threat of opposition and imprisonment. It's in verse 4. It says, but many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. When Peter and John were willing to share the good news of Christ, people responded. And that doesn't mean that every time you share the gospel, you're going to see 5,000 people come to faith. But you will never waste your time in sharing the gospel with someone. There is not one gospel conversation that you will have that will be a waste. God honors our willingness to share the good news, and he will work when his word is proclaimed. And you may never see, you may never know what effect you've had when you've shared the gospel. You may not see the results of that, but you will never waste your time when you share the gospel with someone. And so remember these things. Remember, you don't need a master's degree to share the good news of Christ. You need conviction, community, prayer, and the Holy Spirit. So let us as a church pray that God would give us the boldness to share the gospel without fear with those around us. And pray that the Holy Spirit, that he would be at work in us as we share the gospel, as well that he would be at work in the hearts of those who are hearing this message, and that he would be the one transforming hearts and bringing people to Christ. Lord, I pray that you would fill us with boldness to speak your word. Lord, as we've spent these weeks looking at evangelism and learning and being equipped, God, I pray that you would fill us with your spirit to go out and to boldly proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ that we have received. Lord, I pray that you would help us to overcome the fear that we face. Lord, that we would be absolutely convinced that the gospel is the truth, the true word of God. Lord, that we would rely on each other, be connected to our community to encourage and challenge each other in this mission. Lord, that we would be committed to praying for and with one another. And again, that you would fill us with your spirit, giving us the boldness to speak without fear. And Lord, that through us, that through our church, and through your work in us, we would see the gospel move throughout Liberty Village, and we would see people come to know you for your glory. We pray this in your name. Amen.